Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for checking out another brand new episode. Today's features Boxcar. Had a great time linking up with them at band practice, talking about their brand new record due out on May 10th, titled Open Eyes. And they've got some exciting events coming up, including their album release party May 24th, Off-Broadway in St. Louis, Missouri. Snag tickets today and join them in the celebration. You're going to get a sneak peek of the new record on today's episode, including a live acoustic one that we had a lot of fun with. So hope you enjoy this. Do want to remind you, as always, Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Friendship Brewing Company in Wentzville, Missouri, serving up all your craft beer needs. Over 25 rotating taps over there, all kinds of tasty beverages and good eats. They got all the burgers, nachos, flatbread pizzas, pretzels, salads, all kinds of tasty eats over there. So come on by and have a great time over at Friendship Brewing Company. You can get some live music every weekend. They kick off the weekend on Thursdays with Singo Bingo Night. This Thursday, the 25th, would be your dad's favorite playlist. So come out and enjoy that. Friday, live music from Jeff Waldschauser. And Saturday, the 27th, Andy Tucker returns. And if you can't stick around for the music or drink or dinner or anything, you can always take some cans home with you. They've got the four packs of cans always for sale. They got t-shirts. If you want to represent your favorite craft brewery around town, you can snag a Friendship Brewing shirt, all kinds of things over there. So swing in, check it out, support local, and have a great time over at Friendship Brewing Company. Last summer, they launched their second location in Flint Hill, Missouri, just outside of Wentzville, serving up same great beer but all new dining experience out of their Fly High kitchen. And over there this weekend on Friday the 26th, you can catch Michael Scott out there. And on Saturday, April 27th, Michael Marciano. You can find full listing of their beer menu, food menu, concert calendar, and so much more at friendshipbrewingcompany.com. Get plugged in with them on the socials. Again, support local. Have a great time out at Friendship Brewing Company this weekend. Enjoy some of that patio weather. If you need anything from me, you can always find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the socials. Email me, rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. And with that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode with Boxcar.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We're Boxcar, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Scissors beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beats scissors, Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Boxcar. Welcome to the show. Let's before we get going too far, let's say
Hi, everybody, introduce themselves for those listening.
Hi, I'm Jorge from the band Boxcar. I sing and I play guitar.
I'm Dave Cicchetti. I play bass.
Ashley here. I play keys and sing.
Hi, I'm Lori, and I play drums. I think I'm also the only native St. Louisan in the band.
Well, you play bass sometimes too, Lori.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I played bass for about 5 minutes and ended up on an album with Boxcar.
She did great.
Thank you.
And hi, I'm Audrey. I play violin and do some light backup vocals.
Very
just
cool.
A hint. Just a tad.
Yeah. So is that your fun fact on your like trading card?
Yes.
You're native of St. Louis. So where are everybody else from? Then everybody else. How we end up here in St. Louis?
That's a good question. Yeah. Yeah. I'm from California. I grew up in Los Angeles, and I've moved around a lot, but my mom's from St. Louis, so I came back here to be with family in about 6 years ago. And then I met her at the Gaslight Bar where they did this open mic night, and we met at the open mic night, which was really fun. And then I keep planning on going back to California, but it's just never quite happened.
Yeah.
Easy living.
I was born in Chicago, but I grew up in Southern Illinois, and I moved away for about 20 years and came back to St. Louis.
Nice.
To be near family. Well, be near friends, mostly.
Yeah.
Hey, cheers to that. Hey.
Friends that turn into family.
Yeah.
There it is.
Mm. Pretty much.
This guy
is going to cry.
But I got to clean it.
So sweet.
We're going to make us cry.
Just chopping onions.
I grew up in the Midwest. I'm from a small town in Illinois, but I went to college really close to St. Louis over in Edwardsville, Illinois, and kind of bopped around for a bit after college and landed back here in like 2014.
Nice.
Oh, I guess we did talk about Lori already.
Yeah.
I'm originally from California as well. NorCal, though.
Yeah.
San Jose specifically.
Yes.
That's it.
I've bopped around all over the country, but I moved here about 6.5 years ago. I work for the St. Louis Symphony, and I moved here for work.
When did you move here? Because I moved here
December of 17.
In May of 17.
Yeah, we didn't meet until like July.
Huh. Okay, 12. Cool.
That's about right when we met too.
Tim Levy, did the Tom Waits night.
Yeah.
And that was like right when I moved into town. I went to that open mic night and met all these musicians and just made instant friends here. And that's like one of the main reasons and my grandma that was living here at the time. I was just like, man, why would I leave? You know, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah. We're so nice in the Midwest.
They are nice. Yeah, they are nice.
And Lori and Jorge met through Craigslist.
Yeah, Craigslist, yeah.
Whoa.
She was originally going to kill me, but then she joined the band.
Playing the long game.
She just crossed my name off with lipstick.
One of those, what is that, the missed connections?
Yeah.
Casual,
she was buying a guitar from a connection. Friend of mine, and he said, I bought a guitar off somebody on Craigslist, and she plays drums and does all this stuff.
He bought a guitar strap from me.
Oh, guitar strap, okay, yeah.
And I was talking to him about, you know, I'd moved back to St. Louis in 2016, and I hadn't been playing drums, and it was 2019, and I felt like I wanted to get back into it. And he said, I have a friend who sometimes needs someone to sub for the regular drummer, who was a woman named Catherine, who is a professional drummer with the Air Force, and she was Boxcar's full-time drummer.
Yeah, that was great.
And she's actually the drummer on the album, our upcoming album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Open she Eyes. Moved, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And right. Did you kill the guy with the guitar strap, or is he still alive?
What's that?
Did you kill the guy with the guitar strap, or is he still alive? From Craigslist?
No, it was Reverb.
Oh.
Nobody gets killed on Reverb.
Oh, it was Reverb. Okay, yeah.
But I sold it to Kevin on Craigslist, I think.
Okay, but he's still alive.
Yeah,
Kevin's okay, we might want to check on that.
All right.
But Catherine's an important part of the history of Boxcar.
No, she is, yeah. I met Catherine. She is. Kind of through the Gaslight, because at the Gaslight there was a clarinetist, Megan, and she was in the Air Force band, and so she was kind of the conduit to all these Air Force musicians. They're so good, and they're right over across the river in Illinois at the Air Force base over there, and we played together. For probably 2 years. How long was Catherine in the band? 3 years.
I think two, because we had Jim before that.
Oh, yeah, we had Jim before that. Yeah. Shout out to Jim Wolf, who was in the Air Force. So he moved to Washington. He just got married. Congratulations, Jim. But yeah, Catherine was a really big part of our last album, St. Louis. It's called St. Louis. And then this album, she drums on every single song. Is that right?
Yeah.
So.
So shout out to Catherine.
Yeah.
Hey, Catherine.
Thanks. We miss you.
Love you.
But that's,
come back.
It's cool to hear like kind of the origin story, how it all like, you know, we all come from different parts, but we meet here and form this group. And now we got a brand new record down the way and everything else. It's just exciting. It's fun that, you know, like you think about, like, there's all sorts of different ways to start a band. So there's like no right or wrong or anything, you know, but it's just like interesting to hear how everybody kind of, how we all met back here. And
yeah, I mean, Lori started as our bassist.
Well, no, she did do drums first.
I was subbing on drums. And yeah. then
we did
then
that show at the like, Q in the Lou.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jorge basically taught me how to play bass.
Well, you're kind of a natural at it. Yeah. Because because Catherine was in the Air Force, she traveled a lot. So we knew we were going to be in trouble because we're looking at 3 months out of the year, Catherine was going to be gone. And we got a big show opportunity at Q in the Lou. And then I went because I knew you through Kevin and Craigslist, and he had mentioned that. I'm like, well, let me call this person up and see if she wants to.
He sent me the Boxcar demo CD.
Yeah.
I listened to it, and I was like,
the actual CD.
Did I send it to you in the mail?
Then you bought
a CD in the mail.
You bought a CD player. You were
like, I need to go buy one.
And I thought, this is great. I really liked the music. You know, the lyrics and the music were a lot like things that I would have listened to anyway. Mm-hmm. It seemed very familiar, kind of like music I grew up with kind of a contemporary twist to it. So that made me excited to join the band and play as often as I could get in.
Yeah, and you did great at the Q and the Lou show. We just did a great show.
That was like
really
a gigantic
cool.
stage, and big everybody stage. Kept saying, this is not the size stage we normally no. have. We're normally crammed into a corner.
Yeah, right. With like 10 people at CBGB or whatever. But yeah, it went off really good, and then it was kind of sad because then Catherine came back, and we're like, see you, Lori. But then we did see you again.
Yeah, I would come back every couple months. It seemed like I got to play a show.
And then it became apparent that Catherine was leaving, and then we decided, well, let's just have Lori play drums for us. But in the meantime, when we were recording our album, we didn't have a bass player. So Lori's like, well, I got a bass. I'm like, well, play it. So we played it, and it was really cool. So
but
she's
then, we found Dave, and he's a real bass player.
Yeah, how'd we find Dave?
I knew Ashley from going to Broadway Oyster Bar.
Yeah, Dave and I met in the local music scene, and I told Dave, I have a friend who might be looking for
Yeah, she's
player.
Very secretive.
Oh, at you first, told me?
At
okay.
first, she's like, oh, the band I'm in, Boxcar, I think we might need a bass player. And then like a few weeks later, she's like, hey, I think my friend's looking for a bass player. And I'm like, do you mean Boxcar?
Maybe. Could it be Boxcar?
And I said, I'll try it out. And
then he's a friend.
You guys played the Spooktacular at my house?
Yeah, we did.
I started a thing during COVID to support local musicians in my front yard for the neighborhood. And it's just kind of grown. And so I had Boxcar play. And then it was shortly after that.
What did you play?
I did play that
Lori
first.
Lori was on bass.
It was shortly after that.
Lori was on bass for that. And Catherine was on drums, yeah.
And that's kind of how we all met. And
yeah, and it just worked out really nicely. And
COVID hit. COVID hit, and I remember I didn't play with you guys for like a year and a half, and I was like, I wonder if my days of Boxcar are over.
No, it was just COVID. Yeah. That was really troublesome for every band out there.
And sure.
It was almost like a wasted year for us.
Yeah. Yeah, it was I'm glad that we're, you know, pretty much past all that now.
Yes.
Like, so
yeah.
But yeah, it was weird times for sure.
Yeah, because the last show we played before COVID was
the Duck Room.
No, it wasn't the Duck Room. It was the Ready Room.
Yeah.
With Ashley in a different band, actually.
Boxcar opened up for Andrew and the Dolls, which was a band Audrey double dipped this night. So
yeah,
Boxcar opened up and Audrey played in that. And then Audrey came over and played in Andrew and the Dolls opening. And it was like 2 weeks.
Well, you guys both were in Andrew and the Dolls.
Yeah. I was in Andrew and the Dolls too. And it was like 2 weeks before lockdown happened, and
March 14th.
Yeah, I think right it was around there. Yeah, and so it was one of the last shows at the Ready Room, too, before
ever.
It closed in St. Louis. Yeah, and the first time I met Jorge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Little did I know we would be in a band together.
Yeah. Well, we met at the Angad's Art Hotel first.
Oh.
Because remember we played on that rooftop and then the tornado hit? Oh, yeah. We were supposed to play outside on this rooftop at Angad's Art Hotel. And it was going to be great. They have this amazing like rooftop venue there.
Yeah, it is cool.
We were all so excited. But literally, the show is at 8. At like 6 p.m., some kind of crazy windstorm hit the top of this building. I mean, everywhere it really did hit. It almost blew the doors off the joint. We were up there, and they're like, and then it started raining. We're like,
yeah,
kind of.
So like, you're playing inside now.
Yeah.
In this very small space that's not meant for bands, but yeah. That's where I first met you, I think.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That was the other doubleheader.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Thanks for bringing that up.
But then later, when it became clear that the singer before Ashley, Dana, who was also in the Air Force, was leaving, I guess I knew something was going on because Audrey's in the band, that there was some kind of something going on with Andrew and the Dolls, which maybe they weren't going to be playing together anymore. So I actually did, because I know this is like, you know, a small music scene and this kind of thing. I did actually contact Andrew. I was like, listen, we need another singer. I was like, what's Ashley doing? And he's like, well, you know, we're not really playing together. We're kind of like, I'm going solo and doing some other stuff right now. I said, well, would it be cool if I just texted her and be like, hey, what are you doing? And he said, that's fine. So that's what I did.
If I just stole her.
I did not.
How do you feel about me usurping her from you?
Yeah, I tried to be diplomatic about it because I know it's a small town. Yeah.
And then he paid Andrew. He gave Andrew like $100.
No.
Like a token.
But
here's a demo.
Some people give people cattle.
No, it was not like that. It was very fortuitous because the second Ashley joined the band, we just kind of took it to a whole different level of, I guess, continuity or...
Well, she makes us do affirmations.
She makes us do affirmations, yeah. Well, yeah, she's good at her instrument and her voice. And she has
brings
a positive...
the band together.
She makes Jorge not wear his New Balances.
Yeah. We set a hard rule on the shoe.
I don't have any shoes on right now.
Listen. Yeah, but I make people hold hands before shows and look each other in the eye and say what you love about each other and stuff. Yeah, that's really...
It's good to have somebody in the band that pumps you up because sometimes it's hard to like pat your own back or say like, let's go out there and let's do good or you're good or this is a good thing. And like, so it's nice when Ashley tells you like, let's just like take a second and like congratulate ourselves for where we are at this moment and let's go out there and kick some butts. Yeah. Which we've done pretty good. Our first show together, one of our first shows was Joe's Cafe, and it was just like almost a miraculous event for me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a cool room. I'm glad
I'd never even been there before.
Yeah.
So I walk in the door and it's just a spectacle.
Like, what's happening?
Yeah. And it was just wow. And then to play music in that spot, I felt just like one of the luckiest people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're back doing some shows again.
Yeah. And, which we were supposed to be there
this
on
week.
Thursday.
This week.
But we didn't, we were the last band before they started back up again because they had that little hiccup.
Yeah.
So to speak. So, but we will be back because we love Joe's Cafe.
Yeah. 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 Well, we do have a bunch of other shows coming up, including an album release. So let's get into talking about this brand new record. When we might be able to hear a little bit more, but we got just a couple of singles leaked out there so far. Just the other day, you released a single, Open Eyes.
Yeah.
Now that's on all your streaming platforms. And but let's talk. What do you guys want to tell us about Open Eyes?
The song, because that's actually the album too.
Yeah. The song. I guess we'll start with it, and then.
Yeah. Well, I kind of lifted the chords from Kevin Karenic, so I will say that. And
thanks,
then,
Kevin.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thanks,
yeah.
Kevin.
You want to burn that bridge? But we were just in the basement kind of messing around, and he was playing some chords. I just sang over them, and I thought they were really cool. I feel like the song is just about not being able to sleep and having just some troublesome thoughts that don't let you sleep well, you know.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
Sound tired.
So, yeah.
Americans are getting less and less sleep. There are more and more distractions. One out of three people report not getting enough sleep, and things appear to be getting worse. People
There's probably a lot of us that are similar kind of situations where, you know, just like you get in your own mind, and when finally things like quiet down and at the end of the night and you're like laying there, then that's when all the thoughts start going. Like I said, a million thoughts and going through. And there's definitely those nights like where, you start reflecting on everything and that kind of stuff, you know. It's like, so that was where, this one I connected to right away. And so
nice. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. It's a little bit different from the normal songs we played before, because it just doesn't have that kind of like energy or that kind of like, well, I don't know if energy, it doesn't have the, maybe the beats per minute or something. Yeah. Really. It's a little bit slower and a little more somber.
Dreamy.
Yeah.
Dreamy.
It's dreamy. Like towards the end, almost like it's meditative a little bit.
Until like towards the end, it's where it's almost like all the thoughts are going.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we kind of leaned into the synthesizer, which we hadn't really done too much before, because we started using this new synthesizer, which has all the different sounds and stuff. So we kind of utilized that. And then Audrey got a loop pedal. Which
that was like a pandemic hobby that I picked
so
up.
Cool, yeah.
Pandemic baby.
Yeah, it's a pandemic it's a pandemic hobby.
Yeah. No, it's cool.
But yeah, it's the only song so far that we've used looper. And I think we were able to capture that pretty well.
Yeah, we did it in the studio. With Chris Turnbaugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Sawhorse. And yeah, that's at the end of the song. I don't know how many times you loop around on that thing, but it's quite a few.
That's so cool.
Well, it depends on the scenario.
Well,
it's like a live show. We
album.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
But the song there's like four or five loops in there.
Yeah. It's kind of a cacophonous kind of ending.
Yeah. The song starts really simple with just the synth, and it kind of starts really low. And then it all kind of, all the instruments kind of build in.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, it's like everything is both, all the instruments are going and Audrey's looping, and it's just this like cacophonous kind of
the insomnia,
like, the feeling. Yeah. The feeling of all the thoughts in your head when you can't sleep, of just like so intense.
And we went and put like a fake radio thing in the beginning of it, where we're just talking about, the funny thing is, cause I was just making it up, and we told Chris, can we make this sound like like we recorded it off an old transistor radio, and he did his little knobs and stuff like that. And I just said, you know, like 2/3 of Americans are having trouble sleeping at night. And there's so many like people that just can't turn themselves off when they're trying to sleep. And Audrey was like, I don't know if we want to put that on the album if it's not true. But then I went and looked it up. It actually is true.
I mean, it's great. It's, but I was just like, can we fact check a little bit here?
Let's fact check
it. It's like 2/3 of people have insomnia problems. And I just like Googled it, and it was just a lucky guess, I guess. But I kind of figured like a lot of people do, actually. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to need to talk about the sample size.
It was like USA Today or something. This is like
I'm kidding.
Okay. I don't know if that's the most reputable news organization.
That's the only place I get my news.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chris. He's
Chris.
Yeah, really talented guy.
We love you, Chris.
Yeah, we love Chris, and he was our recording engineer and our mixing engineer. Mm-hmm. And also kind of like our, what do you call the person that?
He's a really good sounding
arbitrator.
Arbitrator.
To get legal, but yeah. When we would get into arguments in the studio, he would be the person that would help us get to where we needed to go.
Yeah. You guys see the candy on the table?
A lot of candy involved there at Sawhorse Studios.
But honestly, it was nice to have like an outside person that's not super familiar with the songs to like be like, hey, actually, like maybe you don't need that, or you do need that. And
yeah, it was good.
Yeah, we've never done that before. And specifically this album, which is mostly recorded at Sawhorse, was a result of just us wanting to like go into a studio instead of just pretty much like me in the basement, just like calling people in, hey, come play your part, you know? And we're like, okay, well, why don't we try something a little more collaborative on this album, which we did down at Sawhorse. And we just, I've known about Chris because he subbed for bass. He's played bass for us before, and we know he's a good bass player. And some of our friends have worked with him on different stuff. And we're like, well, why don't we just see what he's up to? And that was fortuitous, really. He's just became our friend, and he made the album sound really good, and he helped us kind of navigate different issues that we had, where that's the person that's not in the band. They can be outside the band, and they can weigh in mm-hmm. with a more objective point of view than us. And I think we valued that because everybody's got their subjective point of view. But when someone's not in the band and they're saying this and they're music, you know, musician, and then all of a sudden everybody had a little bit better time making decisions because we value what Chris said.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. One of my favorites in town, and Sawhorse is just a cool room too. Like
it is cool.
Very relaxing over there. Just allowing you a great space to create and
yeah.
just get funky with it and have a good time. And so, but yeah, I really enjoy it over there and good people. So you said the title of the record is Open Eyes as well. So this yeah. Title track and the full album will be due out on May 10th.
May 10th, yeah. We're releasing a little bit before the show so people can kind of get familiar with the songs.
I think that's a cool idea. And then you can learn all the words and sing along. And
I hope so, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how other bands do it, but I think Dave was like, well, let people get familiar with it. It kind of makes sense to do that just because it is kind of fun when people know the songs a little bit. We have been playing these songs live for quite a bit.
Right.
Maybe 2 years we've been working with these songs. But it is nice to have people know the songs because I think that helps you connect a little bit better with the songs when you're listening to them live.
Yeah.
Especially with folks that haven't been to any shows yet, you know.
Well, yeah, if you haven't, because if you've been to a bunch of shows, you know these songs already probably. But if you haven't, you would have no familiarity with them.
Yeah. Is there one, being that you have played out for a while, is there one that... You think maybe that took a big change when you went to the studio with Chris's input? Is there anything that really kind of you flipped or are they all?
I don't think we made major changes to any of the songs. I think they were all pretty much locked in. Right. There was no major production changes in. There's a bug on the window.
Yeah.
I think it's a June bug. Wow. That's cool.
We might have built out Might Rain today a little bit in different ways.
Oh, yeah. Well, we built out Might Rain today here.
Yeah, but not Chris.
At the house. Yeah.
Yeah. Because but they all stay pretty true to the originals.
Yeah. We didn't make many changes on there. I know with Might Rain today, when we went and started doing it, we really liked the B3 organ on there. And so we did use the B3, and we kind of worked half at home, half at the studio, just from both the economic and just an ease standpoint, because you can do so much stuff at home now. And we just really worked on the organ sounds. I don't know, Ashley has this really cool riff at, I almost know the time signature on it, where it is, at minute 34 or whatever, where she does this really cool B3 riff, but The walk down. Yeah, and we told Chris, turn up the walk down, because we thought it was really cool. Because it is cool.
All right.
But really, a lot of the songs when we went in there didn't change really at all, I don't think.
Which was kind of one of our goals. I remember when we had a little bit of a session during our album creation where we did this, I brought a giant sticky note. And are a couple words that you want this album to represent? Yeah. And I know Audrey especially was let's make sure it kind of it sounds like what we play live.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool because it's still subtle enough, different that you'll notice the differences in the quality that change in the album, but it still really sounds like.
Yeah. Well, I guess we need a rain machine.
Yeah. That is real rain. I did record that out the window. Yeah. On Might Rain today. I can think of one thing actually that Chris did help us with. We did want it to sound true to how people hear us live,
sure.
But give them a little bit extra. And that was something that we would battle about, I think, in the studio. What else can we add on there? Oh, do we really need three different piano tracks on there? it is a studio. Well, you're playing piano on this, remember?
Right,
Ashley did most of the keys, the organs, the keys. And, but I remember at the end of Open Eyes when Chris was layering your vocals. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when we, yeah.
Isn't that on Open Eyes where you have those layered vocals?
Yeah, yeah, with like what multiple do? Harmonies.
Yeah, yeah, what's that part on there?
I mean, we just did like four parts.
It's the yes.
Ooh, yeah. That part. You have like a three-part harmony in that
ready?
Part.
Yeah, ready? One,
no.
two, three.
No, they chickened out. Yeah. But that is something that you can only do that in the studio. You know, let's record sure. Ashley yeah. in three different layers. And it sounded pretty weird, actually. So we're like, how much out front do we want this three-part thing? And at first we buried it. We're like, you know, it is kind of cool. Let's put it up in there. Mm-hmm. And
we you'll hear it at like the very end. So many of them.
Yeah. At the very end, we got like, too much. Because, Ashley's Audrey's looping the violin. Then we have, we're singing. Me and Ashley are singing the chorus, essentially. And no, we're singing Don't Stop. It's all over.
Yeah.
And then in the background, you'll hear Ashley doing this crazy kind of harmony. And it's really fun, especially if you have headphones on. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good way to listen to the album if you, if you get the
chance
to.
Do not listen to it on your iPhone.
Don't listen to it in your 1987 Honda.
No, that's kind of cool, actually.
I mean, that's
cool. They might have had better speakers.
Yeah. We love 1987 Hondas.
So. Yeah.
It's very specific.
Yeah.
Is it a Civic?
It's a Civic. The hatchback. Civic. Don't listen to it in your 1987 hatchback. Civic.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, yeah, we didn't get too crazy on this because we wanted it to kind of sound like us.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's also an important thing. Like, it's cool to make a great record that sounds amazing, but being able to replicate it live, like, you know, as it happened.
Right.
If you don't, especially not always having like 20 piece band or whatever, you know, to recreate it. So it's nice that you can, something that people can take home exactly the live show that they heard almost, you know, like, hey, if you like this tonight, here's the record that sounds like this and like kind of thing. So yeah. I think that's also a nice feature, you know? So, mm-hmm. And I think I agree. I think listening to it, like, there's those little moments, but there's also just, it's pretty raw for the most part. Like, it's just a kind of more of a mellow sounding record, and it sounds like a live Boxcar show and like this kind of feel to it. So it's not like good. I said, not having adding, you didn't add anything too, you know, crazy to it. So
yes,
yeah. But I liked it a lot. This record was, it sounded really great. I got to give it a couple listens this week as preparing for this. So it was fun.
Thank you.
Fun listen for sure. But you teased at the release party coming up soon, and we'll have a couple opportunities where you can come out and support, including May 17th. You'll be doing a live in-store at Vintage Vinyl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
that's at 6:00 p.m.
6:00.
Yeah, we're excited about that because Vintage Vinyl is, record stores are just cool. So that's number one. But number two, Vintage Vinyl is like pretty much an institution in St. Louis.
Yeah,
you know, it's just so cool. We feel like that was something like, if you're in St. Louis, it feels good. If you played a Vintage Vinyl, it's almost like a...
I've watched so many bands there, and it's
exciting
to be the band.
Oh my gosh. I saw Del McCoury there, and it was unbelievable. There's only like 15 people there. Del McCoury is like one of my favorite progress.
I got to meet Jack and Kyle from Tenacious D over there. So that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Record stores, like supporting the local record store or them supporting us, I'm pretty sure that's the avenue actually that we're going down there is just really cool.
Yeah, they did Tenacious D played the pageant, and then Rise of the Phoenix had came out, so they were doing like a record signing over there before the show.
Yes.
And so yeah, it was a neat little day to get to meet them and say hi and get my record signed and then go party with them at the show. And
we'll sign your album too.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll party at the show. Yeah, no, we love record stores. And then, we're going to play there, and we're going to do a really short set there, just kind of one of those like record release type of things with maybe five songs. And then we're going to head over to TikTok Tavern after that at 8 p.m. We're just going to do a listening party, which if you've never been to TikTok Tavern, It's so boss.
It's yeah. a cool place.
Yeah.
It's like a if your grandmother's basement and a dive bar had a baby.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And they were obsessed with owls.
And your grandma loves owls.
Of course she is. God. And macrame owls,
and
probably.
And macrame yeah. owls. And there's Buzz's Hawaiian food next door.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
Typically.
Masubis to the max. Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
Such and every clock in the spot. Joint is set to 420. And there's like 300 clocks. Yeah. You never notice that? Good Lord. Yeah. There's like 300 clocks in the place. They're all set to 420.
What's that mean?
What's 420? Why?
You might be too young.
Well, then we got the big night, big record release party happening May 24th at Off Broadway.
Yes.
Institution in St. Louis.
Institution, yeah.
Incredible room. Yeah. I was just there last night. So
who'd you see?
John Moreland.
Nice. Oh, how was that?
It was great.
Yeah, he's a boss, dude. He can write a song that guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. One of my absolute favorite songwriters. Great. You know, I've been over there some nights that get a little rowdy. And
it's coming May 24th. You better watch
out. It's going to be May 24th. Yeah.
Boxcar Stoke coming to your town.
But this, it was so nice that like, I was like, people were just silent all night. Like,
he's a songwriter.
Right. People had, like, he had the audience in his hand, like, and then just, so it was nice that, cause you know, even I've seen similar shows in a sense, like just a songwriter like that. And people still talk on, I'm like, hey,
yeah,
like,
no,
and this is not go outside. Like, you know, but it was nice that people were respectful there in that room. But yeah, beautiful night, and John's new record's really great, and so he played quite a few songs from that new album. So, so I'm excited for you all to be over there, and we got some support from some friends joining us on that night, right?
Yeah, Car Microwave from Kansas City.
Car Microwave, we freaking love you.
We love Car Microwave. Yeah, we play with them at Dos Bevo, and we just kind of, how did we even hook up with Car Microwave? I think Joshua James. He kind of was like, hey, this is a cool band, and they're like over there just hustling their game in Kansas City, and they want to try to like shoot out to different metropolitan areas within 100 miles of or a couple hundred miles of Kansas City, which is kind of what we're doing too. And so we had them come play with us at Dos Bevo, and it was just really they're just a really fun band. Oh, then we went and played.
It was at San
and then
San
we played
Lou
San Lou, one of the last shows so there. Yeah.
Yeah,
and they were just super fun. They're a good, they're a songwriting kind of band. They're not doing cover songs. They have interesting songs too. And so when we actually did try to get Joshua James to come out, and he couldn't make it. So our second pick was Car Microwave to come and open for us. And we're excited for them to play off Broadway, because for us to play off Broadway, we're like, this is cool.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like you say, it's a St. Louis institution, but to bring them to off Broadway, it's going to be cool.
It's going to be great.
Where are we going to eat beforehand? We need to take them out to like a really cool spot.
Yeah.
Because there's Sister Cities right there.
It's always good.
That's a good one.
I still have not.
Oh,
what?
I can't believe it.
Sounds like we're eating Sister Cities.
I've been
on the radio.
Nearly 10 years and I have not.
We'll go there.
I know. I keep hearing that.
It's good.
Yep.
It's great. But we'll pick something there.
Yeah.
And then we got Langan from Defeated County, who's... just kind of like, I've been working with Langan in a songwriting group for a couple of years, I guess. And we became friends and respect each other's songwriting. And so I asked her to open up for us. And, she, you know, thankfully she said yes. So we're excited about that too. She's got, you know, great songs. She writes her own songs, of course. And she's going to be bringing probably some special guests too. So that'll be really fun.
Ooh. It's going to be a good night.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah. So we got lucky, essentially.
It's going to be a fun one. And tickets available right now. You can head over to Off Broadway.
Yeah.
STL.com.
I don't know. But I think there are scalpers out there right now selling them if you just drive by.
All right.
Yeah. Just say, give me the good stuff. And then just give them $20. I'm pretty sure get some tickets.
It's off Broadway, STL.com.
Yeah, there it is.
There you go. Nice.
Or any street corner where there's a scalper.
Yeah. Just say, give me the good stuff.
The boxcar sign. Yeah.
Show them some cash and you'll get some boxcar tickets.
Well, yeah. And then the rest that weekend, also, you will be heading, you mentioned Joshua. Heading to Kansas City
on
May 26th. Play a mini bar with Joshua James and Timbers.
Yeah, we met them through Joshua James too. He hooked us up with, actually, I think Car Microwave hooked us up with them. They're really cool. They seem like kind of fit right into like our style of music, and I'm excited to meet them and play with them. They've got a new album that they're kind of coming out with, and they're so we're excited to go play with, and Joshua James, of course, who's you know, just putting out new music, and he's got his band together with great energy. We played with them last year and it was so fun. We're like, we gotta go back.
Had a good time.
Well, yeah, that's a busy month for you. Getting the word out, promoting this record.
So, yes.
We're going to have some fun for sure.
Mayday.
we did a song, the live take on one of these off the new record. And you all performed a song called How Long.
Yes.
Live acoustic for us today on the show, an exclusive here. So,
yeah.
What comes to mind around How Long?
Yeah, I
don't. This is the song that always brings tears to Dave's eyes. Yeah. Like, you know when a song just hits you, right? Yeah. And sometimes, yeah.
I'm getting teary right now. Thanks, Ashley.
Anybody got any Kleenex?
It does.
Oh, all the time. Every time.
It hits his heart.
It just hits me.
What's
it? You're just a sensitive guy.
So, yeah, I'm sensitive stuff.
Yeah, I don't really know what the song's about, even really.
It's beautiful, though.
Well, how do I know?
Yeah, well, I mean, people listen to a song and they figure it out.
Exactly. I know. I think like the chorus goes, how long has this been going on? So I think that like generally it however it resonates with the listeners.
I think
when you feel like, how would you describe it, Dave? Like, what does it hit you? Seriously.
I'd take it two ways. Like I have a lot of thinking going on while we're playing it. Yeah. Just personal situations I've been in with different folks.
Yeah, no, I feel that too. Yeah.
and just the emotions that can come from any situation or personal and
well, it's kind of like
that's how I take it, at least.
Yeah, I feel like when something like comes to the surface.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the surface, you're just kind of like, well, how long have you been thinking that, you know? And it's kind of sad when stuff like that happens. And then you have to ask yourself, like, was it just make believe? Like before this, you know, how long have you been pretending, or how long have these feelings been there, and now they're out there? Mm-hmm. And was everything else before now just?
Oh, I'm gonna cry.
Sorry, just fake. Was it real? Did we have anything real? You know, and so yeah, I could see that could have hit hard. And I didn't really write it like that. I just kind of like,
so wise and grown, now I know the truth unfolds, and I said, how long, how long, how long has this been going on? How long, how long, how long has this been going on? Been going on. You take it back, 'cause you return what you don't wanna trace your track through the moonlight and night black. Just a simple word, it's a simple thing, could've changed everything. Now I know truth unfolds, and I said, how long, how long, how long has this been going on? The same. You could never change, and I could never be the same. You could never change, and I could never be the same. You could never change, and I could never be the same.
I'm generally a jingle writer, so it was just, how long has this been going on? You know, Doobie Brothers or whatever, you know? But then it took a dark turn that I couldn't be helped with.
So when you see me getting teary-eyed on stage,
yeah.
Don't be
It
scared.
Hits me sometimes, too, when I...
I'm going to be looking now.
Don't look at me.
Yeah. I don't know. What line hits you? Do you have a specific...
Oh, it's just the chorus.
The chorus.
But I love the bridge in that song. I love. That's one of my most favorite songs to play.
Yeah.
Even without the words, the music itself is so haunting.
I love playing the bridge. The bridge in that song.
It is. It's the music, kind of ethereal.
Even if there were no words.
Synthy.
Yeah.
And the harmonies are beautiful.
I love the bridge. I mean, the bridge goes, because you could never change.
And I could never stay the same.
And I could never stay the same. And if you could think of any situation where that's been the case... Oh my
That's
gosh.
Weird,
a relationship, some kind of, you know, any kind of dynamic that's
that
been
happening.
That
kind of hits me when I sing that.
That hits.
We're gonna hit
and
you
it just kind
it.
Of popped out. I didn't even really think about it. But then when I actually sing it and think about it, I'm like, oh,
like,
darn it. Yeah. For the kids out there.
Yeah. Strumming my pain with his finger, just like writing it. Exactly.
It's almost like I was trying to tell myself something, you know, like in when I was writing it, like, and sometimes that's how you write a song and you look at the words like, oh, I guess I'm trying to like tell myself something, or I'm trying to like figure stuff out, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't really think about stuff when I write, I just write it. Sometimes we'll write a song, we'll just do it right in the basement. Like we've been doing that lately.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look back and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like, it was writing itself. I feel
it
like
was writing
we're
itself.
Just, we're just
which
like a
scary.
Conduit. We're a conduit for some story that needs to come
it's
out.
It's almost like a robot vacuum, like texts you and it's like, hey,
I am a robot vacuum.
Hey, I didn't clean the kitchen. You're like, oh my gosh.
I am cleaning your kitchen.
I think robot I vacuum needs to be our next song.
Robot vacuum. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's a song that's a little slower than our normal stuff. It's a little more somber, I think, than our normal activities. Yeah. But it has a nice energy to it that somewhat is positive. I think.
Good song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel positive about the song. I
love that
song.
For sure. It's got kind of an uplifting melody.
Yeah.
I don't know. As you're like talking about that, I mean, not to compare. I mean, but like, I think it was an interesting story to hear. But Neil Young was on Stern Show and he was like talking about like he wrote all these like songs like in a some kind of fever. Mm-hmm. It was one of my, it was a fascinating story that he's like, didn't even know what he's writing. He's, you know, like all out of it. And he just starts scribbling stuff down. And then out of that, like came like Cinnamon Girl and like, like three of his like biggest songs. Like,
yeah.
And like, he had to like analyze, like, what does this even mean? Like, you know, and like trying to put together these words that he just started, you know, jotting down and stuff. And, so anyway, I just think it's like, again, it's never really know where that inspiration is going to hit with the song or the lyrics or whatever it is. And all of a sudden, sometimes you just got to keep up. And so it's cool to hear those stories like that. So
sometimes it's scary a little bit.
Well, it's like removed from, I think, a like thinking space. Mm-hmm. You're like not trying to be logical about it. You're just feeling and you're writing something. And then it comes, you know.
The stream of consciousness.
Yeah. Sometimes that's nice to be in that space where you don't have to like,
it doesn't
have to be logical, but there is something behind it. Like something meaningful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we, we'll have, that will appear on the full arrangement, will appear on the record.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So we have that one here soon on all your, streaming services and things coming May 10th. So.
And we got the special one version we just did.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is really fun. Just and Lily, even I think Lily played the keyboard, sir. We have a mascot dog.
Yeah.
Where's Lily? Oh, she's
right here. Okay, she's laying on the couch with us. If you can hear, here's her.
Yes.
You might have seen her from such videos as Might Rain Today, and You're My Only One. She's our official mascot dog.
Yeah.
All on YouTube.
Lori, what? Okay, tell us. Just can we get a little snippet of Lily? Of like, where does she come from? How old is she? What kind of dog is she?
Lily was discovered on Craigslist.
Uh-huh. Aha. She lived to tell the tale.
To the other ad.
Right after you. Did you kill the person?
Well, for
Lily. Her owner mysteriously disappeared.
It was, I think, 2020, and... my father had passed away a year before that. See, you guys are joking, and I'm telling you.
I'm crying right now.
Bring me
down. I'm tearing up.
My mom said she was finally ready to get a dog. And there's another story with that, too. So we found Lily. She was 2 years old, and she's, like, become my best friend.
Yeah.
Everybody's best friend. Everybody,
yeah, that's true. Sometimes she wants to go home with different band members.
Ooh, he is a lot.
It's her choice, okay?
She's a grown mutt.
She really is. She comes to a lot of practices, though. And
she comes to all the practices, unless she's bad.
And then, sometimes she gets in trouble.
But she's on all our videos.
She's got healing properties.
Yeah, she does.
Sometimes I want to put like little... like ear protection for her, though.
We're not that loud. She's luckily.
Bass drum level.
She'll sit right in the middle of the room during.
If Lori really starts rocking, she will leave the drum set area. But luckily, we're not like a heavy metal band. Otherwise, we would have to get special little ear muffs for her.
Yep. What about the new video coming soon? In that video?
What about the new video? We love Blip Lap. Brian McClellan there's just the cool thing about St. Louis. There's so many these people out there just doing what they love. Mm-hmm. And in their basement or with Bill Streeter, just on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's why Bill Streeter, maybe that's where he got his surname from. I don't know. He's out there on Cherokee Street. Unfortunately, now that Lo-Fi Cherokee is done, but I mean, there's so many people out there in St. Louis that are doing these amazing things, and Brian is one of them. He just has a love for music, and it comes through. He just wants to share it with people, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So he had us come to his basement and do a video. We did the song The Highway, which is going to be on our next album. We're just very excited about it. That's one that me and Ashley kind of wrote a little bit together. And Ashley sings a lot of it, actually. And so that's a little bit of a departure for us. But we really like the song a lot. It's really fun. And I think we haven't seen the video yet. But we know it's going to be good, but we just haven't seen it yet. Yeah. So we're really excited about it because we have seen other videos that Brian's done. And we know they're all good. And so that'll come out on May 20th in kind of the days before the storied album release that will be on May 24th. Yeah. I think it's May 24th. He said that Monday, right?
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Before the party.
But we're super excited about it. And we think what Brian's doing is really cool.
Yeah.
And all these people out there that are supporting the music scene here and putting their time and energy, like yourself, Shane, into doing this kind of stuff, that know what's going on in St. Louis is not, it's not a fluke. There's a lot of cool stuff musically going on here and artistically. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see that showcase. So we thank you and we thank Brian too.
Yeah, thank you all.
You know, St. Louis gets overlooked a lot for music, and it's nice to know that there's people out there trying to get it out there to whoever can see it.
The masses.
There's so many. I constantly hear of a new band or project in St. Louis, and I'm like, what? Right. So much going on.
You think you know it all, but you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Lots of talent here.
It feels like everybody's doing it because they want to do it. I don't know about, I never was in the LA music scene or the Nashville music scene, but I know like it's, I did work in Hollywood for a little bit. It's just, it's frenetic and people are just like trying so hard and they're trying to like meet people and, you know, make their big break. Where really in St. Louis, people are just playing music. Mm-hmm. They're writing songs, they're playing them because they love music and that's what they're doing. So there's no ulterior motive with St. Louis music. It's just people loving music, which is it's such a genuine, nice thing.
Yeah. I would, I mean, there's a lot, like I'm kind of conflicted with it sometimes. Like I love what we have here, but also I wish there was more people that cared, but also,
would that ruin it?
Yeah, would it take away from, like, would I be able to go see some of my favorite bands in these clubs that I love to see them in? You know, it's the same, but I want my friends to be successful and I want my friends to get paid to make music and all these things, like, you know, and all these. So it kind of goes over back and forth all the time. It's like, but I love what we have happening right now in St. Louis. I mean, several years. I've been doing this. May will be 10 years. I've been doing the podcast and trying to document as much as I can. To
party coming.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah, maybe, you know,
10 year party.
Yeah. Invite your French friends.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We will.
I do want to, things are kind of on hold, I guess, for at the moment, but yeah, I definitely want to throw a party sometime this summer. I have a date on the calendar and I had to reschedule, but yeah, there's something happened this year to celebrate, but I hope so. Yeah.
Shane was charting in France. That's why I said the French. Just for some context.
Sure. If you missed the early part of the program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
International.
Yeah.
International podcast.
But they, hopefully we'll have something. I haven't thrown a party in a little while. We did, 2 years ago, I did like 8 years, 1,000 episode party, just, which was fun to celebrate that one. And then, I was hoping to do something in May, but I that was the one where I backed off and rescheduled. But no announcement yet, but hopefully we'll have something soon. And
coming soon.
Awesome. Yeah.
10 years is a big deal.
It's kind of, especially for me, it's wild to think that I'm still here doing this thing, and like, because it was just started as such a goof, you know. I was like, just gonna do this thing, and I never imagined that it would kind of become what it is and like it's still going. But it's a fun hobby to have, and
yeah, you know, it allows me for it.
Allows me to meet all kinds of cool people around town. So,
yeah, for sure.
So we got a big release coming soon. Got your like I said, a couple of dates here in town, and then you can find more information on Boxcar Socials on Facebook and Instagram. Mm-hmm.
And TikTok. Now we're on the TikTok. Yeah. Watch out, kids.
Watch out.
Yeah. And then maybe coming to a town near you. Like I said, one of your goals kind of hitting some of the various towns in the or within a few miles around and stuff. So hopefully, maybe this summer we'll get on the road doing a couple more gigs. And
Well, this summer we're going to Europe in July, so that should be pretty cool. For that's some.
We're probably going to run into some of your fans,
right? Yeah.
Yes, I know. We're going to name drop.
Yeah.
But if you're in the Netherlands this summer in July, you know,
Netherlands, we'll be in the Netherlands, Germany, perhaps Belgium. We're still booking some of the dates out there, but if we can't get a hotel or whatever, we'll be like. Maybe you heard of Shane Presley. Yeah. We are very friendly with him.
Rock Paper Podcast. Like, oh, we own the presidential suite.
Oh, we just found a room for you. So we're excited for that. And then last year we played Minneapolis, Chicago, Madison, and we'd like to do something coming up. Or we've been looking at maybe even heading back to the West Coast next couple months, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that maybe brings up that was it was
back
like
home.
What maybe a year and a half ago or something. I was listening to About Last Night podcast, and I'm like listening, and they said something about Boxcar, and I was like. Hori, were you in like LA or something? He's like, no, it wasn't me. And
it wasn't. And we were in LA, but it wasn't me.
It was me.
Yeah. And then I was like, turns out it was Dave at getting to see Adam Ray.
It was awesome. And if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, I don't know if it's still out there.
It's still out there. Yeah.
It's out there. But
Adam Ray,
my wife and I had the front row at the Comedy Store. Adam Ray was up there and he's just chit-chatting as the comedians do in the front row and asking what we did. And he was talking about getting high, I think, too, or something, of course. But I said, oh, yeah, I'm a musician. Oh, you're a musician, playing a band. Yeah. What's the band's name? Boxcar. And he goes on this. And if I searched for a song on Boxcar at the time, it was Arms Around Me we just released.
Yeah.
He's like, I said, Arms Around Me. And he said, let me get a swing at like what I think Arms Around Me is at, and he went on this long hilarious tangent and brought it right back. He's actually coming back to town to the City Winery. I might go get the front row.
There you go. Yeah, get that front row again, Dave.
But it was really cool. And then like you happened to...
You told me, Shane's like, were you guys... I got a message from you. You're like, were you guys in LA? Yeah. I'm like, well, we were in LA. We played a couple shows there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why do you ask? And you're like, you're on a podcast. I was like, what? And then
you sent me
the clip of it.
Because
that was Dave.
It was me. And Adam Ray was talking about how Kevin Bacon was in the audience that night.
Oh, so we're like seven degrees from Kevin Bacon now.
We're 2 degrees. 2 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
We're 2 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
Right there.
End it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very cool. Yeah, we had a really good time on that tour over there. And then Dave happened to name drop, and now we're on a podcast. And,
and now we're going to Europe.
In comedian history.
That's how it works.
Coincidence? I think not.
It's really not.
Yeah, it was just, that blew my mind that day. It was just like, and you know, I'm like, what are the odds? Like, kind of that one that you're in the front row and that it's a band that I'm friends with from St. Louis that's on it, in LA and all this stuff. Like, it was just like, really a strange occurrence, but I'm glad it happened. It was fun.
Yeah, and then actually when we were playing over there, there was some people from St. Louis that just happened to be
in
town.
Oh, an audience,
and they came and saw us. They're like, oh, what? Right. I was like, Josh, is that you? He's like, yeah. I'm like, what are you doing here? He was like, I was just in Joshua Tree and I thought I'd stop by.
Him. Nice.
So, there's people out there.
Yeah.
The diaspora.
Yeah.
The St. Louis diaspora.
Those are the kind of moments you realize how small the world really is sometimes. Like, it's not quite that far, but like, I've gone drive several hours away and then you run into people from hometowns. Like, and it's like, what are the odds that we're
here at the same?
Yeah, this is just strange, but it's fun. Yeah.
It was cool.
So
I ran in, there was, okay, this is not Boxcar related, but just small world moment. I was in Ghana. West Africa one time and ran into a person from St. Louis, like at a food cart.
That's literally a small world.
Yeah. And we were like, what the hell? Halfway across the world.
Right.
I feel like that happens a lot with people. You just like find each other.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That sounds like a wild story.
What kind of food was it? Was it like really good? Was it hamburgers?
It was good. No, it was like a noodle dish.
Noodle dish. Is it at a local Ghanaian? Ghanaian?
I don't know if it was super local.
Oh, okay. You were at the Thai restaurant, weren't you?
There is the Thai food cart. There is this dish called I think it's called Red Red.
Red Red.
That is incredible in Ghana, and just like all these different things. And in Ghana, it is super common to invite someone to be very welcoming, like with your meal or with whatever your group, and to be like, you are invited into this thing. So like people will come up to you with their soup bowls and be like, you are invited. Like, dip your bread into my soup.
Do you double dip?
You must, or else
okay.
It's rude.
Whoa, you must. Check, please.
Yeah, it's part of the risk, you know.
And then there was COVID.
And, then COVID happened, and people stopped doing that.
Hopefully we get out there and see some more people and meet some people from St. Louis and other parts of the country.
They're out there.
Yeah. All right. Let's start with let's play one more song from the record, and this one is not available anywhere yet. We're gonna leak out exclusive preview of a song called Wild Heart.
This is for you, Joshua James.
Yeah. this is his favorite, huh?
He loves it.
Yeah.
We got like 2,000 views on YouTube, and I think 1999 of them are actually Joshua James. He said that.
We love you, Josh.
I'm not even making that up. He told us.
We love you, Josh.
Yeah, we love you, Josh.
What? Anything around Wild Heart that we need to know, or any from the studio or anything come to mind?
No,
or?
It's pretty. I think we got really. It's a song where Audrey shines a lot on there because it's a little bit slower. She gets to rip that violin up. And we got a lot of good harmonies going on.
Pretty harmonies.
There.
Yeah.
And I think Joshua James' comment was, who hurt you, Jorge? Because the chorus goes, if you hold me close, I'll tear you apart. Because I'm a wild thing with a wild heart. But really, that's just a song. You know?
Jorge bites people. Yeah. If you hug Jorge, he will bite you. So
don't get too close.
It's a defense mechanism.
Yeah, I'm wild. Watch out.
Yeah, but it just seemed to make sense at the time to write that. But I think that could connect with different people in different ways. Evidently connected with Joshua James. So.
Yeah.
Who hurt you, Joshua?
Right.
Oh. Throwing it back.
But there's walls of
silence and the ocean silent. If you hold me close, I will tear you apart. I'm a wild thing with a wild heart. If you hold me close, I will tear you apart. 'Cause I'm a wild thing with a wild heart. Try and break through, and I will try and break you too. And when you try and break through, I will try and break you too.
Questions I like asking and get your take on all these, let's start with Audrey had to step out, but as far as like say we got
box, I'll answer for her.
Yeah, please. say we got boxcar action figures. What would you guys like to see as your accessories with your action figure?
My action figure. This sounds like a Matt Close kind of question. Action figures. Here, what would I have? I'd have to have a guitar. Yeah. I mean, that would be kind of simple, really.
I always kind of like to ask a follow up as far as if you're going to add your instrument. Is it like do you have a dream instrument to go like that? You would. Is there a certain guitar you would want to in your?
I've got my dream. You have a dream guitar. I got my nice Jumbo Taylor, which is really the guitar that I've dreamed of. If I was going to also have like a special accessory, it might be like a piece of a really nice piece of cardboard. Because if you're actually are traveling on trains and whatnot, then you want to have a really nice piece of cardboard because it serves all kinds of functions. So if you have to sleep,
it's a seat.
It's a seat. Pillow. Yeah. It's like a REI sleep mat, but it's just cardboard. Yeah. Like a lot of trains, if you're like train hopping or whatever, and you have a grate and you're on the train, then you want to lay some cardboard down. So because it's hard to sleep on a grate. And so you just bring some cardboard and it does all kinds of help you start a fire. You can draw on it.
Take note, folks.
Yeah. Get it's the hobo in me.
Yeah. Runs deep. Thus boxcar, you know?
Yes. The name. The yeah. Although you don't want to ride in a boxcar, as we've talked about.
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's one thing you should actually talk about.
Well, we've talked about it. Yeah, you know, boxcars are the worst rides. If you're going to hop a train, don't get on a boxcar because it's just a really bad ride. The trains that have boxcars don't really go anywhere. They're short haulers, locals. And then the door could close on you and it locks from the inside. You can't get out, so you'll die.
Which is what we're planning on reenacting at our album release show.
Yes, yeah. Asphyxiation in a boxcar.
So fun. One of a kind experience, really.
And we're going to do that through interpretive dance, so it should be pretty good. And that's what Audrey would have said, too. I'm pretty sure she was going to say cardboard for train hopping.
Ashley?
No, you go, Dave.
I'll go. I would probably have some kind of mechanism that shoots like a grappler out or something out of the guitar.
Why would you have a grappler?
I don't know. There's a cool video game in the 80s. And that's
grappling hooks were cool when we were kids. I do know that.
Bringing it back to the...
Yeah.
To get away from the fire, you're starting with your
tears. Cardboard.
Yeah, I'm out with my tears. I don't know. Just think it'd be a cool thing. You know, action figure. That's all. And a backpack. I don't know.
My action figure would be a weird Barbie playing drums, like weird Barbie from the Barbie movie, the Kate McKinnon character.
Yeah.
With, you know, in a constant existential crisis.
Weird Barbie.
So
weird
it would just be you? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. So your action figure would be Lori. Well, that kind of makes sense, Lori, because yeah, that's what action figures are.
I'm a woman of action.
Yes, yep. You are. Oh, man.
True.
I know, awkward Barbie, truly, truly amazing. Cool character. Okay. I was a big fan of Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
Growing up.
Oh, you can.
What?
That's what they say in Mortal Kombat, right?
Yes.
Oh, well, no, you right. can.
And he's throwing the fireball.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would be Shiva, who was the four-armed monster. Because you can do so much more with four hands than you can with two.
Yeah.
Speaking of four hands.
Sponsored by Four Hands,
St. Louis, Missouri.
Ashley will do anything for free beer.
Yeah, no. I thought Shiva was both like so freaking weird and terrifying, but also super strong and just shout out to Mortal Kombat for all their different characters.
Yeah, and the weird movie they made too.
And the weird freaking movie, which I refuse to rewatch because I think it's going to be ruined. Like, it's not going to hold up.
Yeah.
You're
talking
about
the original?
Yeah, it's from
in the 90s.
In the 90s, yeah. Just weird.
Yeah. I'm nervous.
No, I think it actually probably might get better, actually. It's one of those like really weird ones where they just went weird and then try to cater. Like, nowadays, these superhero movies are trying to cater. They're like, let's get weird and let's be weird.
Get over here.
They weren't trying to be a big blockbuster hit. And that's what's cool, kind of cool about it. But
you can...
Did you ever play it at the arcade? Because that's like all you heard when you were next to the thing.
Used to go to.
What is he saying? Even are you no, can or it's, all
I
you
think
can?
It's probably a foreign language.
It's a foreign language. Okay, because I thought it was like you can. Like yeah, you can.
You can.
Then he would proceed to just kick your butt.
I was gonna say, I remember it being much more like treacherous.
Yeah,
than being like finish him.
Well, that's the name really Mortal Kombat. Like,
yeah.
I feel like the Hayukin was. Street Fighter, I think.
Oh. So you might be right.
Which it was also same time.
Era, okay. Yes. Shane is correct.
So I think that's
not the same video game?
Okay. No.
Can we edit that? Now let's edit this part out. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Removing your Mortal Kombat badge.
You are correct, sir. Yeah. That's why Shane runs the podcast or the band.
That's definitely unlocks memory though. Spending a lot of time in arcades.
Arcades. Because that's one you couldn't play for a while, and it didn't even come out on the console for a while.
Yeah. Yep. Spent a lot of quarters on those games.
I was gonna say the same. Many a quarter at the local Pizza Hut was spent on Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Lori was busy researching the life of Jesus. And I'm not joking. That's really what she was doing.
Well, he was in Mortal Kombat.
That's true. Aren't we all? Our souls in Mortal Kombat. Lori has a PhD in theology.
Yeah.
She just wrote a book.
She did.
There's a song about it.
There's going to be a song about it, apparently.
Yes, it's called Lori Wrote a Book, and it's going to be on our next album, and it's really it's really fun. We might play it at Off-Broadway, too.
Yeah, it's fun.
If you're lucky.
All right, what... it's kind of another goofy one, but say you're at the concert, you're down there front row, and... band pulls you up on stage and wants you to sing the next song with them and stuff. What would you, what's the, like the band and what's the song you would like to sing as a
Indigo wow. Girls Closer to Fine.
There you go. I was going to say that for you, but you beat me to it. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh.
For me, I never really thought about getting pulled on stage before and singing a song with somebody to be honest with you. I mean, if this is just like dream world, which it is, I would say Bob Dylan, if you pulled me up and we'd do Desolation Row together while we looked into each other's eyes, you know, like really deeply into each other's eyes. Yeah. I know he's 80, but I was just like, Desolation Row sounds a little different than it did in 1965, but that's a song that I always thought was really cool. And he's still playing Desolation Row. Now he does a kind of weird dance number.
Just in St. Louis, yeah.
I know, this I miss spring. That.
Oh, he's and he's coming back with Willie, isn't he?
Yeah, with Willie and who else is he playing with? Somebody big time.
Like Mellencamp, I think.
Somehow. Yeah, John Krieger Mellencamp. So crazy. Yeah, big ticket. Yeah, so maybe I will get pulled on stage. This time I'm not going to miss it either. Mm. Unless it's in Chesterfield, in which case I will miss it because I don't go out to Chesterfield.
Hey, that's out my area. I don't mind. Like, I know it's not cool. It's cool, but it's still nice that there's of like venues like now that 20 minutes from my house compared to
that is nice. You know, that's why I won't go there because right. I got like a 3-mile sure. rule.
Yeah, you guys, you're a little more spoiled here. I'm an hour away from everything, so
yeah,
so, I know, right? We're in it,
yeah.
What about you, Dave? Who are you singing?
Gosh, come on,
you just went to I can go show, if you want me to go.
I'm gonna go while Dave thinks about it. Okay, I mean, Alanis Morissette, her Jagged Little Pill album is just like an album that has stayed with me throughout every season of my life, and I love the song All I Really Want, and I just imagine like she has this kind of like, she has this like really intimidating pacing thing that she does on stage in her shows. Mm. I don't know if I would do that particularly, but
do it.
I just love her and respect her so much as an artist, and if she pulled me up on stage, I would probably shit my pants and then and then sing.
Word depends on the next show.
I'd have all I really want. Yeah, all I really want.
I took Stacy to see her last year on the like anniversary of that Jagged Little Pill. I guess it was a year late since it got postponed with COVID stuff.
Nice.
But it was an incredible show, and she still sounds amazing. And that was kind of my biggest concern. Like, is she, I mean, you know, it's 20 years or whatever since that record came out and things. And
like, does it hold up? Yeah.
And she still sounds like the record. Like it's
so nice. Cool.
Yeah.
She's great. Coming back too in July, I think, when we're in Europe.
We'll be in Europe.
Gosh,
sorry, Alanis.
Maybe next time.
All right,
I'll probably go on stage with the new queen.
Yeah.
The new queen. You know, because they're still touring.
Who's the new queen?
Well, Queen.
Oh, you mean Queen with Freddie Mercury.
Well, they don't sing with Freddie Mercury.
Right. Anymore.
But if you could do it with Freddie Mercury.
They're touring without.
Yeah.
What?
They have been, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They did Adam Lambert for a while.
And Adam Lambert is still singing.
Yeah, I don't know if he's still doing it. But.
I had no idea that was a thing. That seems like pseudo-sacrilege.
I know.
Well,
no, they're doing it. He's good.
Brian May still approves it. So
well, 100%. Yeah, I know, yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
What song?
I like doing one of the off song, like not so popular songs. What's the one?
It's so popular you don't even know it.
Yeah, that's not like it wouldn't be like
Fat Bottom Girls.
No, not even. It would be like
you want to ride your bicycle.
Stop talking. Love you guys. No, it'd be like
Bohemian Rhapsody.
No,
I love that one.
That's a deep
one, Dave.
Yeah. The Lover Boy song. Look it up. Queen.
Okay. Yeah.
Old fashioned lover boy.
So okay, we're looking it up right now.
It's a fun song.
Sing some of it.
Is it there?
I think it's
this one. No, it's not that song.
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't. I've never seen it live, but Adam Lambert crushes on those songs. Like he's.
Yeah. That's what I hear.
That's like perfect for him in his vocal range. Yeah, like, and 100%. He's also like theatrical enough to like really like embody what Freddie was putting in those songs and stuff too. So.
Okay.
Good stage presence. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe.
It's weird that he came out of American Idol.
Yeah, for sure.
I know.
One of the only people I think who he still is doing something that has come from American Idol, I think.
Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood.
So three people.
There's more. I think we can all agree that American Idol is better than The Voice, I think.
Oh, 100%.
I wouldn't know because I haven't seen either of them, but I take your word for it.
100%.
It's common knowledge.
Yeah. It's common knowledge. Certainly, the American Idol is more of part of our culture. It's here.
100% correct.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Well, I got one more for you. We'll see. It's kind of in a similar vein, but is there a dream duet or a collaboration you guys would like to see for the band? Is there somebody that you think would...
collaboration, really?
Yeah, is there...
Yeah,
I
would love to write a song with Jorge.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
Oh, I would love to do an Americana song with Maddie Schell.
Yeah, Maddie's boss.
Would dreamy anytime, Maddie. You know where to find us.
Yeah.
That could definitely happen, though. That's not a dream thing. That's like a possible.
That's local dream.
Yeah,
local dream. That'd be a cool name for an album. Yeah, this is my dream collaboration, really. Here, so.
Oh.
You know, I feel very lucky because I pretty much quit my last job to do music. And I thought, you know, well, I'm older and what could happen if you just give yourself into the idea that you can write songs and play songs and those things in your head or that you play into your computer could be shared with people. So
yeah,
that happened. And I was like, the last incarnation of Boxcar, we had Catherine and Dana. I thought, wow, this is really cool. And we had a lot of fun and we traveled, went to Nashville and we did different stuff. And we went to Kansas City too. And I thought, wow, that's great. And I didn't really think it could get much better, but then it did, and it got way better. So, you know, that's like, I like other people, but so I'll be selfish. Like, this is what I really do like.
Yeah.
I feel very lucky every time I play with the band.
Yeah.
And I think about, or someone says something nice about the band. Because I know that, like, they would never say that if I was just playing music by myself, you know, because I see, like, how I sound by myself, and then I see how I sound with the band. I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. So this is my dream collaboration happening right in front of your eyes.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
It's fun. I feel lucky to be in this band, and I think even the newer stuff.
You have to copy me, Dave. Been,
I hear what I sound like by myself, and then I hear what I sound like with this band, and I sound a lot better with this band.
That's agreed. Yeah, we are but more. What do you say? Like the sum is greater.
Yeah.
I just also want to say real quickly that I feel grateful to be. This is my dream collaboration.
Oh, okay. You change your mind now.
Play on my own, it's one thing, but if I play with the band, it's
another. We rock. Yeah, it's just a good energy.
And I also want to say that I feel really lucky. It's not only on a couple.
Did you say Indigo Girls earlier?
Of levels, it's great working with, you know, people who are such great musicians. It you know, pushes me to get better.
Are you playing with another band?
I do play with another band. I play with a band in North Carolina that I won't advertise.
Truth comes out.
But the other thing is, like, we're actually friends. You know, you can probably tell from talking to us. We actually enjoy hanging out, and we have fun together when we travel.
Most of us.
As a band. Right.
And Audrey left
I feel like, you know, when we're playing, we try to invite the audience into the fun that we're having and include them in our friendship.
I think that's one thing people have said, that they can tell that we're having fun with each other on stage. Yeah. That's a big thing, because like you see a lot of some shows and you know, they're just standing there and staring into space and stuff, and it doesn't invite having fun either. No. You know, so we like to have that.
And even though we met on Craigslist and stuff, we're not going to kill you.
There have been no promises.
We promise not to kill you. All right.
Well, grab them tickets. Join us May 24th off Broadway, St. Louis, Missouri, Boxcar album release party. And then we're, like I said, a new record May 10th. Grab it on the streamers and spin it. Are we going to have physicals at the at the party?
Yeah, we'll have some actually, hopefully by the May 17th date when we are at Vintage Vinyl and TikTok. And then we'll definitely have some at the May 24th show off Broadway with Carmark Wave and Langanalise.
Well, I really appreciate you all doing this. It was a ton of fun. And
thank you, Shane.
I'm glad that we made it happen. It was kind of a long time coming, but
I know. We wrote you like 20 emails. I'm like, no, that doesn't work. This has been like 4 years of like emails.
He's got to say yes one time.
I'm not even joking. It's been about 3 years of trying to.
Once you go international, you can pick and choose whoever you want to talk to, Shane.
Yes. Yes. Very cool. Thanks for having us. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you all. Thanks so much.
Cheers to Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey, y'all.
And I'll see you all soon on May 24th.
Awesome.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.